you've discovered TalkZone.com. TalkZone.com. The best in internet talk radio. Now, the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio. Here's your host, Dave Baum.
Welcome in. Good to have you aboard again. For those of you in more than 40 countries and 1,000 cities worldwide, we appreciate your listenership and your calls. And we think we have an exciting show for you today. One involves, well, both of them actually involve international issues. One happens to be a question of who do we support. We're going to get to that momentarily with our guest. And you like the second hour of the show today. If you're an imbiber, you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. If you're an imbiber of spirits, the second hour of the Dave Baum Show today will... we'll be talking about the business of spirits, and boy, has it become huge. Our phone number on the Dave Baum Show is 1-888-463-6748. 1-888-463-6748. 888-GO-FOR-IT. I don't know about you, but every time I pick up a newspaper or go to the internet and read about what's going on in the world and America's foreign policy, I say to myself, what foreign policy? But of course, that isn't the first time I said that to myself. I've said that through Democratic administrations and Republican administrations in my lifetime. There doesn't seem to be much rhyme or reason for what goes on. And there have been a lot of examples in our lifetimes about that. Support for, pulling support from, etc., etc., etc. Today, the United States faces another international dilemma. Do we continue to support another tin horn dictator because of what he allegedly can do for us, or do we drop our support for this guy and invite possible civil anarchy? Americans have heard this scenario many times before. This time, the country is Pakistan. The tin horn is Pervez Musharraf. He's the president. He's the top general. He's the chairman. He suspended the constitution in Pakistan for the second time in 8 years and basically declared martial law. Under pressure from the Bush administration and other Western leaders, he's promised to hold national elections by early 2008. But first, a little history. This is a country, Pakistan, born in 1947, when the British separated it from India. Religiously, Pakistan is Muslim. India is Hindu. There are about 165 million people living in Pakistan. Less than half at age 15 and older who can read or write. The Tin Horn Musharraf took power in 1999 in a military coup when, guess what? He suspended the Constitution the first time. He named himself president. He's America's pal because, allegedly, he's been working hard to get rid of Muslim terrorists who populate much of his country and neighboring Afghanistan. To put some perspective on the Pakistan problem and what it means, we're pleased to have on the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com Dr. Waleed Faris, who is a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies in Washington, D.C., which is a nonpartisan think tank funded by donations and membership. Dr. Faris, welcome to the Dave Baum Show. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Let me ask you, first of all, before we get into the internal politics of Pakistan, let's define the players first of all. Please define President Musharraf for our listeners.
Okay. President Musharraf came as a result of a coup years ago against a previous president who basically was the one who oversaw the nuclear program. So Musharraf inherited that program, although, of course, he was part of the decision initially. Then he reinstalled democratic elections. He was elected, and then he was reelected just a month ago as president by the Legislative Assembly. However, he has the title of Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, so he has two titles, President of the Republic and Commander-in-Chief of the Army. The other players are the opposition, the secular opposition. Nawaz Sharif, the former president, is influential. He has a party, but he's in exile.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Benazir Bhutto, who heads probably one of the largest opposition parties, who was supposed to come to Pakistan, and she did, and then have a coalition with Musharraf and become the prime minister. And then you have the other players, more dangerous, the neo-Taliban, Al-Qaeda-inspired jihadist forces, which are at war with Musharraf's government, Musharraf's army. He has waged a campaign, that's Musharraf, against them over the past 6 months under a lot of pressure from us, from the United States and from the world. And in return, they began a terror campaign, bombing in various cities. One of these waves of bombings targeted Benazir Bhutto. So now you have a triangular situation whereby Bhutto and Musharraf are against each other now because of the fact that he declared a state of emergency to fight the terrorists. In fact, that's what he said. And then she's saying, no, we don't want the state of emergency. We want to go for elections, full-fledged elections in January, legislative elections. And he's saying, I want the state of emergency for a few weeks or probably a few months just to be able to face the terrorists. So it's an awkward situation. And as you said in your intro, on the one hand, the United States and the international community wants to see that democracy is safe in Pakistan, but also, probably as important, slightly more important, security, including the nuclear weapons in Pakistan, being secured in this whole magma.
Our conversation about Pakistan with Dr. Waleed Faris, an expert on the Middle East. If you'd like to join us, 1-888-463-6748. It's a toll-free call, The Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com. Where does the Pakistan Supreme Court and the most recently ousted Supreme Court justice fit in as much as, well, let me ask you, did the Supreme Court validate Musharraf's recent election victory?
Well, that was another awkward situation. Going into the elections, there was an agreement between Musharraf and Benazir Bhutto, ratified by the parliament, that if he is elected, then he will resign from his job as the commander of the army.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's not elected, he will remain. He was elected as a president. Now, the Supreme Court was silent on this issue, meaning they could have said no from the beginning, you can't do that. The Supreme Court was silent, but Judge Chaudhry, the head of the Supreme Court, said, you know, we're not going to accept that a sitting commander-in-chief of the army will rerun for president. So you have a political agreement on the one hand, and you have the judge who, by the way, has been removed by Musharraf 7 months ago and then brought back. So there is a feud between those two. As soon as Musharraf was re-elected, then the judge said, you know, we don't know if this is acceptable. And all indicated before Musharraf's declaration of the state of emergency that under Judge Chaudhry, the Supreme Court was about to vote against the fact that these were legal elections and call for new elections. Now, President Musharraf said, well, there is an interference now on behalf of the Supreme Court, and there is a terrorist campaign against us, against the government. This is a very dangerous situation. So he declared the state of emergency, and with his presidential powers, apparently, he removed Chaudhry and then replaced him and other judges at the Supreme Court.
So if you're watching this as a law-abiding Pakistani citizen, you have to be laughing because it's really a joke.
It is comical in a sense that, you know, the constitutional process should have begun before the elections, warning that if he goes to election, this is not going to be accepted. And then the legislative should have said, we're not going to allow these elections. And then even the opposition who accepted the elections should have said so. Now, everybody was very excited that there's going to be this equation where Musharraf will be reelected, Prime Minister will be Benazir Bhutto, and then he will resign. And actually, he was about to resign from that position. The problem is that if he now resigns as a president and therefore as a commander-in-chief of the army, nobody can guarantee what the army would be able to do. So they have a national security issue here. And this is not East Timor. This is not, you know, Cyprus. This is Pakistan with nukes. And nobody knows how deep the infiltrations of jihadists are in the army. So, which makes the constitutional issue important, but probably as important would be the national security issue.
All right. Well, let me ask you then. Is Pakistan, Dr. Faris, a democracy or a dictatorship? It's supposed to be, by definition, a federal republic, however you define that.
Look, it is a federal republic, meaning they have provinces, they have local governments. That is not the problem. The problem is the central authority ruled by General Musharraf is authoritarian in a sense, but you know what, authoritarian, and then you have political parties which run for election, and the majority party basically forms the government. So it's a quasi, it's a democracy in transition, whereby in this case the president is much stronger, of course, than the legislative and the other branches.
Musharraf is quoted as saying recently, emergency rule is the only way to restore democracy. Your comment.
What he means by that, I don't want to interpret his words, but what I think he means by that is he's telling his people, if we now stop the process of combating the terrorists, I cannot guarantee that after me they're going to be a Benazir Bhutto or any other prime minister. They're going to be a Taliban control of the government. That's what he's trying to say. Meaning, if you give me that state of emergency, he took it anyway, I will fight the terrorists, shrink them back to Waziristan where they were, and even reverse them there. Then we could come back and do elections, and therefore a state of emergency will allow democratic elections. If we don't have the state of emergency, says Musharraf, then I'm going to be removed by the judiciary, and nobody can guarantee what's going to happen afterwards because of the presence of the very strong militant force, the jihadists.
Dr. Faris, does he have to prove to his people in any way that there will be anarchy if he's gone?
Well, the bombings that you know were distributed in several cities. I was talking to many Pakistani experts over the past few weeks, including the two military, some of them in the U.S. and some of them there. And what they all told me was, usually the Pakistani urban people say, well, the terrorists are in those Waziristan and next to Waziristan provinces. They have never seen a campaign of bombing from Rawalpindi all the way up to Islamabad. So yes, there is something new that has happened over the past few months, regardless of the constitutional crisis. Pakistan always had constitutional crisis, which is the urban spread of the jihadists, whereby they could strike within the cities. So average Pakistanis understand that there is a rise of violence, but they fear that because of that, the government could extend the state of emergency, you know, longer than one would expect. But when Musharraf made the statement, I think Musharraf knows he's completely isolated if he stretches that state of emergency. He will have to hold those elections either in January or in February and then face off with a new parliament.
His people are between a rock and a hard place. They've got him suspending the Constitution or the possibility of anarchy lurking behind him.
Anarchy would be easier than having the neo-Taliban forces taking over Pakistan. Why am I saying this? Because, again, the nukes to the United States, to the international community, to India, to China, to Russia, are the most important equation, because if they're not under stable, secure hands, three layers of protection by Pakistani security forces, influenced by the Taliban, if that is not there, then chaos will basically lead to the rise of a nuclear armed jihadi Pakistan, and that is not something that the whole neighborhood would be very happy to see, not let alone the international community. But let me add one thing here. The United States is pushing forward, as long as, you know, with India and the other players, to see that there is an understanding, despite all what we see on TV, that eventually in the next few weeks, Benazir Bhutto and Musharraf are bound, should come together and negotiate, because both of them are targeted by the terrorists. I mean, it's not that one will ally with the terrorists and the other will be out of the power. Both of them are targeted.
Our guest is Dr. Waleed Faris, expert on the Middle East. We're talking specifically about Pakistan today on the Dave Baum Show. If you'd like in, our phone number is 1-888-463-6748. TalkZone.com. I'm Dave Baum, and we'll continue with Dr. Faris and find out, when we come back, what's in it for George Bush and America. Stick around.